This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Discover the fascinating history of the Carioca drill in football and its surprising origin as an exercise and conditioning drill in the game of football. This video takes an in-depth look at how unique this drill has transitioned from a far-off place to the football practice field, showcasing its evolution and impact on the game. Join us as we unveil the secrets behind the Carioca drill and its significance in the world of football and around the world, coming up in just a moment.
This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history. Your host, Darren Hayes, is podcasting from America's North Shore to bring you the memories of the gridiron one day at a time.
Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com. Welcome once again to the Pigpen, your portal of positive football history. And welcome to another edition of the football conditioning, getting shape and fitness with football. We're going to talk about some of the greatest drills and exercises in the game of football and how they impact the players and maybe where they came from, their origins, and where they're going and are they used today. So we're going to be talking about a lot of those. This is our second edition, and it's just going to be focused on the Carioca drill, and we hope you enjoy this little bit because it's really an interesting exercise and what it does for the players and where it came from. Let's get a little bit into history. So the Carioca drill, sometimes interpreted as the karaoke drill. Remember, karaoke is the singing, you're singing with music in the background at your local pub. It consists of a participant moving sideways, the Carioca drill does, face and shoulders facing forward and moving laterally, placing one foot over the other in advance of the other, sort of moving down the field. So you're running sideways in essence, but one foot over the other. The exact origin story of the Carioca exercise remains a little bit cloudy, but the most widely accepted theory points to its roots in the 18th century in Brazil in South America. And here's what we know. The Brazilian ancestry of it had the exercise named after the Carioca dance, a vibrant cultural expression with roots in both martial arts and the dance forms brought from enslaved Africans to Brazil. It moves similar to that of the samba style of dance, both South American dances, evolved movement. It's believed that the Carioca exercise emerged as a simplified or adapted version of the Carioca and samba dances, making it accessible to a broader audience for fitness purposes. An interesting bit of cinematic history is that the Carioca was the first dance that Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers performed together on the silver screen in a 1933 RKO hit titled Flying Down to Rio. You can look that up on YouTube and see those folks dancing that. That was their first dance together on the silver screen. So very interesting. Now, this drill has some history to it. It has a little bit of moxie to it. It's an exotic name, but what does it bring to fitness and the development of an American football player, both historically and in modern times? Well, we brought in some experts to help. And John Davis is going to tell us a little bit about himself and a little bit about the Carioca drill.
You can tell if a player is going to be lazy by watching him or her do the Carioca drill. Hello, my name is John Davis. I'm a retired Army Lieutenant Colonel who spent 23 years on active duty. And interestingly enough, my football journey really started coaching my own kids. So I ended up coming to present day, having accumulated over 20 plus years of coaching football from youth up through high school. Early on, I got involved in an operations role, really based on my Army experience, and was a operations liaison for the company that ran the U.S. Army All-American Bowl for many years down in San Antonio. And that led to me becoming the national director of operations for Football University, who was also owned, that property was owned by that parent company. You know, it's interesting. The Carioca tends to be, you can tell if a player is going to be lazy by watching him or her do the Carioca drill. You see a lot of people emphasize speed and others emphasize technique. I was always on the technique side. I'd rather have good crossover with high leg lift. And I think it as a football coach, what it showed really was a foundation of hip flexibility and overall body control, being able to keep your upper body, you know, stable and manipulate your lower body. So you could tell a lot about particularly skill, what we historically refer to as skill position. Even though most offensive and defensive line coaches I know say they're the true skill positions. So you could tell all of those things, balance, manipulation, flexibility and all. And it's not a drill that most people can watch once and do it well. So that's it. You also, as a coach, you were also looking for the kids that had kind of a high, body, mind response kind of thing to say, you know what, I get this and could go out and demonstrate it. But I always look for those things. It was more of a discriminator than it was a conditioning drill, actually more of a flexibility and warm-up type of thing, which I think is how most people use it.
Another expert that we've also heard from before is Dave Hashemi. Dave, why don't you introduce yourself and tell us your thoughts on the Carioca?
My name is David Hashemi. I'm a certified strength conditioning coach. I'm the director of sports performance currently at Southern Connecticut State University in New Haven, Connecticut. I remember doing Carioca drills even when I was still playing, which obviously wasn't that long ago. You're talking about, you know, maybe just about 15 to 20 years ago. But, Carioca, in my opinion, from what I, as far as I know, they were doing it all the way back in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, which now looking at it with a scientific background, those guys were way ahead of their time. I know it's used as a warm up, really. But the fact that they incorporated human movement with, you know, transverse movement and transverse in the strength conditioning realm means movement across the rotational side of the body, right? A lot of sports, Olympic sports, the training, the style of training, you know, bodybuilding is very linear. Everything happens this way, right? Well, transverse, everything happens this way. So the fact that football coaches incorporated Carioca when the game really at the time when it's on the grid is linear, right? You either ran left to right or you went straight, right? It had nothing to do with twisting and turning. Everybody ran the ball. Nobody threw the ball too much back then. So the fact they incorporated such a drill from my standpoint to say, okay, well, yeah, we used it as a warm up, but it warmed up the entire body practically, right? To this day, do I see Carioca out there too much? No, but it could very well be incorporated and be very practical for sure.
So who does the Carioca drill benefit the most on a football field?
I typically focused it more on linebackers and running backs, which is interesting because, of course, there are many associations between those two in terms of their depth and responsibility. Linebackers oftentimes are reading the back to get their key, and backs are oftentimes headhunting the linebacker when they break through the line to block. So, I think particularly with regard to the hip flexibility and leg lift, because for linebackers, their lateral movement, there were several drills that we used to do in warmups that would culminate with Carioca. For linebackers, because you're looking for that ability to explode laterally. And obviously getting your leg across and up is key to that. Doesn't mean you're going to mimic that move when you're doing it in the game, but it's an indicator. And then for backs, change of direction. So you were looking for their pivot ability as opposed to a jump stop, being able to avoid getting tangled up or hit or making it into a hole. And the same type of movement with their leg and the crossover and their hip flexibility would help with that. So it was probably linebackers and running backs the most.
Just even, you know, keeping the shoulders square and moving the hips, you know, football, you're always taught, and really a lot of sports, but football especially, you're always taught to never turn away from the ball, right? Unless you're a defensive back and you're in man-to-man, chest-to-chest coverage, right? Most of the time as a linebacker, as a defensive lineman, you're staying square to the line of scrimmage because you either have to spill the ball to bounce it back out to the sideline, or you have to contain and bounce it back to the other side of the field. And the only way you're going to do that is by having leverage and square shoulders. So one thing Carioca did was your hips were moving, your feet are pointing in every which direction, but your shoulders always stayed square, which that's you know, as practical as it gets for something so simple, you know.
So the carioca drill has come a long way from its mysterious origins in Rio de Janeiro to a staple in training camps across America. It's a testament to the drill's effectiveness that's endured for so long. By incorporating the carioca into their routines, coaches can build the footwork, agility, and overall athleticism in their players and seeing what they aspire to, all while adding a fun and challenging element to the practice. That coordination of getting one foot over the other and doing in rhythm and keeping your body square are definitely football positions that both coaches told us about here. So whether you're a seasoned veteran or wide-eyed rookie, the carioca drill offers a valuable training tool that can help you reach your full potential on the field. Big dose of gratitude goes out to Coach Hashemi and Coach Davis for their input and expertise in helping us to dissect the history and development of this popular drill at the practice fields across the gridiron spectrum. And we really enjoy you for, and thank you for coming in and enjoying this little bit of history. Hope that you've learned something today. Hope maybe you can incorporate the carioca drill into your own exercise regimen to help you with some agility and just a little bit of fitness, a little bit of fun. It's a football drill. Can't be bad, right? So, and it's a non-contact drill. So maybe even some of us older folks can do that as well. So until next time, everybody, have a great gridiron day.
That's all the football history we have today, folks. Join us back tomorrow for more of your football history. We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com. Hey there, sports history fan. This is Arnie Chapman, a.k.a. the Football History Dude. And I hope that you enjoyed this recent episode presented by the Sports History Network and were able to learn some good old-fashioned sports history knowledge nuggets. I started the Sports History Network back in 2020 with the mission to help podcasters find a community of like-minded sports history nerds, as well as helping aspiring podcasters to start their own shows. We have a little bit over 30 shows on the network right now covering all sorts of sports history, but as far as I'm concerned, we're just at the toothpick in the ocean moment, you know that. Can't even figure it out because there's so much more coming. We wanted to create the ultimate headquarters for sports yesteryear, starting with Podcast Network and our website, but we're going to continue to move into other mediums as well. And here's the cool part, because we want you to be part of our team. So if you're interested in starting your own podcast, or maybe being a guest on one of our shows, or who knows, maybe even writing an article for us over on the website. Seriously, all you got to do is reach out to us on the contact page over at sportshistorynetwork.com. You can be as technologically savvy as a Neanderthal tapping on a stone trying to figure out this whole hieroglyphics thing back in the day. Again, it doesn't matter, because even if you don't understand the whole podcast space, we have a production team that can pretty much help you out with doing everything. All you got to do, head over to sportshistorynetwork.com, head to the contact page, fill it out. That message goes right to me, and I'll reach out to you as soon as I can. But for now, dude, I'm through if you're through.